Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT. Striving to awaken those who are asleep. Stimulate those who are awakened. Feed those who are starving. And nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life terms. First, I'd like to thank the Creator for allowing me to be. I'd like to also thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions. Listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT community organization. Is racism alive and kicking? With all the amendments, you know, that 13, 14, 15, Civil Rights Acts, desegregation, black mayors, representatives, political representatives, and even a black president. Is it safe to say that racism is not alive in the good old USA? As you know, I stumbled across a couple of articles from the HuffPost. Next time someone asks you to prove racism exists, they give them this. The burden of proof is on those who claim this historical reality has been interrupted. The fact that racism exists in the United States is uncontroversial from a historical viewpoint, they say. Okay, this is contributor is Jesse Benn. This is written in 2016. National Bureau, from the National Bureau of Economic Research, they posed a question. Are Emily and Greg more employable than Lakeisha and Jamal? A field experiment on labor market discrimination. Right? So I did an experiment. Okay, let's see what happens. They performed a field experiment to measure racial discrimination in the labor market, right? Based on these names, right? Based on the names of the applicants, right? So they said, to manipulate perception of race, each resume is assigned either a very African-American sounding name or a very white sounding name. Also significant discrimination against, can you guess? African-American names. White names received 50% more callbacks for interviews. They also found that race affects the benefits of a better resume. It means it depends on your name. You got a real nice resume. Oh, your name is, I guess they're saying Ellen, you might get the job, but your name is Jamaica. Anyway, they said for whites, had a higher quality resume at 30% more on callbacks, right? African Americans had a fall. This is weird. It's not weird. I mean, it depends on how you're looking at it. Yeah. African Americans that had a higher quality resume, right? I mean, like, hey, they're like, oh, yeah, he definitely qualified. Oh, that person, right? And resume is written nice and, you know, high quality, right? They have a far smaller increase, right? In callbacks, right? So that's less for the African American sounding names, right? Africans living in better neighborhoods receive more callbacks. But interestingly, they said this effect does not differ by race. The amount of discrimination is uniform across occupations and industries. Now that sucks if you're black and you're looking for a job, right? And you got a name like Jamal, Jamaica, any of those Islamic names. You can just, it sounds like, you better hope, you know, John is not trying to get a job. And John is, you know, not competing against you. Anyway, it says federal contractors and employers who list equal opportunity employer in their ad discriminate as much as other employers. So, it's interesting because for as far as the face value of the law, this is illegal. This whole thing about discrimination and being racist is illegal. country is not supposed to be a racist country, right? There's ways around things. Anyway, they said the results suggested that racial discrimination is still a prominent feature of the labor market. I don't know about you guys, but last time I looked, you have to get a job in order to move forward economically in this country. Own job, or you have to work for somebody, right? Or like some people, lucky enough to hit the lottery. Very few do. You need a job. Most of us are trying to be employed by somebody. So if racial discrimination is still a prominent feature of the labor market, it would be logical to expect racial discrimination in other markets, including the one you purchase your food from. Or did racism end shortly after 2003? I'm just saying, if this article was written in 2003. So did racism end after this article was written? Well, we had this young lady, very controversial young lady. She sounds informative, but you know how what we do with information and what we how we think and believe and how we view things impacts on how we what we see, right? So she's very controversial, especially amongst, I guess, period. She's probably controversial among everybody, anybody that meets her, because she's black and some of the things she's been saying, right? So this lady by the name, her name is Candace Owens. She thinks racism, they said the article says she thinks racism is over because she has never been a slave. I'm not sure she said that exactly. But I'm going to go over what this article from Monique Judge is saying. She said, basically, in a video shared by the Daily Beast, Owen spoke to a crowd of conservatives who appeared to be mostly white. Right? She said, first and foremost, stop selling us our own oppression. Stop taking away our self-confidence by telling us that we can't because of racism, because of slavery. I've never been a slave in this country. So it sounds like she's saying she was never a slave and she was able to succeed. I don't know quite what she's a, anyway. We get not she does a lot of commentary and things like that, right? We get into who she is, but she's very vocal for the Republican Party, right? She says, stop telling us that we need to be obsessing over our past when we should be obsessing over our future and the potential that we have. Now, that sounds not, almost not too bad, but she's using the word obsessing, which might be the operative word here, but I think that we black people need to be talking about our past personally. You don't just wake up the person you are. There are people who died, lived and died to get you to be where you are at this point in your life, right? So I'm not sure what she means by blacks obsessing over the past. Being a black man and having conversations with black people and things like that, I don't hear that. So I don't know what she's talking about. But who am I? I don't know a lot of people. But the people I know, they're not obsessing about slavery and things like that. The past is not used as an excuse, a crutch to rest our true potential and responsibility. Not that. The past is the foundation of the future. It is the energy that propels you into the future, whether it be a glorious past or a dehumanizing past, right? You know, when you meet somebody, you talk, don't you talk about, you can't talk about their future, you have to talk about their past. You talk about how they were raised, you know, things like that. You find out what things they used to do, where they've been, stuff like that. So I don't know why she's talking about this obsession with the past. It's like, it almost sounds like that thing blacks need to forget about slavery and segregation, Jim Crow, and all the, you know, disenfranchisement that has been perpetrated on the black population. Somebody says, oh, get over it. You know, look at me. You know, that sounds like what she's saying. Get me as an example. And, you know, it's like, there's always been people like her, though. So don't get it twisted. Make your own decision. Make your own assessment of what you see, things like that. She's a black Republican, and, you know, that's what she want to do, no problem. You know, but you just don't jump from one train to another, and they both headed in the same direction. But that's, I'm going to stay on topic here. Anyway, she said, first and foremost, you know, stop selling us our own oppression, taking away our self-confidence. I don't get the whole taking away ourselves, because all I hear is about how great we are as a people to have gone through that and to be where we are and how we excel when we get these opportunities. That's what I hear black folks talking about. So I don't really know what she's talking about. Racism doesn't exist. Racism is over. Article was on the set. That's what she said. So, you know, sounds like a self-declaration, you know. But, okay, we're going to go with that. She feels racism doesn't exist. So that means white folks treating her good wherever she go. She's not hearing any stories that support that. We still live in a racist environment here, right? So it's safe, y'all. Travel where you want to go. You don't have to worry about people in hoods, SWAT stickers, just people who don't look like you trying to harm you. That's a joke. All right? Anyway. And the article goes on to say, would that be the same racism that Candace and her family had filed a federal lawsuit against the Stanford Board of Education over in 2007? And for which they subsequently received $37,500 settlement, right? So maybe racism is over in 2007. I'm trying to get the, you know, I'm trying to hook the date up when racism is over, because Candace, Ms. Owens, has an incident where she got settlement in 2007. So maybe after that, you know, all these racist white folks decided, oh, you don't, you know, I don't know. Anyway, it was over. So she received three voice messages from a group of five teenage boys, including the son of a mayor of Stanford, Connecticut, a kid named Daniel. His role is unclear, right? Anyway, Owens and her former friend, Evan Kopet, got into a shout match in class 2 days before the phone incident. Kopek is a Caucasian, I'm assuming. Malloy, Kopek, and others were present in the car when three threatening voice messages were left for Owens, referring her race and repeatedly using the racial epithet. Y'all know that word, the N word, right? Kenny doesn't like me to say that word. I'm trying to give it a break. One of the messages called Owens dirty and threatened to burn a house down and tar and feather her. That sounds like the KKK. Sounds like she was friends with members of the KKK. In this case, the junior KKK, right? The JKKK. Poor Candace was so stressed. She stayed out of school for 6 weeks after it happened. But she said it was too traumatic to attend school. The people who know who had made those calls. She returned to class after Kopeck, her friend, was arrested for the incident in late March 2007. Well, her ex-friend, I guess, right? So she has a history of being friendly with her enemies or people who don't really mean her well simply because of her race. But you can always be a friend with somebody who don't care about you, black, white, white on white, black on black, Chinese on Chinese, whatever. Anyway, that was, that's where the story goes. That's the long and short of it, right? She said it took her years to move past it. You become hostile. You become bitter. Yeah. Right? The incident, along with the continuing hate she saw being exhibited on the internet. She got, ooh, she got, they're beating her up on the internet. Prompted her to found a website called socialautopsy.com where people could share some screenshots of internet bullies and racists as a means of calling them out. So if Candace is saying there's no racism, did it end shortly after 2007? Because so far we got racism evidenced by her own experience up until 2007. Anyway, the author of this this article that was written, she says that Candace is a slave to the white gaze, white eyes. Says that she would do anything at this point to be seen as other. While the psychology behind this would be fascinating to explore, they say the optics of it give you the appearance of being the female version of, funny, this is even coming up after my Sambo Uncle Tom show. They're saying they accuse her of being the female version of Steven from the Django Unchained, right? That's not a good look. It sounds like the author is saying Owens is a Sambo, seeing the world through the eyes of her oppressor, tap dancing for acceptance and validation, that she is a token Negro, self-declaring that racism is over. There is no more prejudice, discrimination, or antagonism by individual, community, or institution against a person or people on the basis of their membership in a particular racial or ethnic group, typically one that is a minority or marginalized. Black folks that are crying about nothing, spilt milk, and ghosts of the past. Yet, there are some black and white folks that will argue that racism still exists. We could say someone saying that there is no racism is a person expressing their opinion or a person not considering the information available that supports the existence of racism. So Ms. Owens has a right to freedom of speech. And that's the way she feels about it. I can accept it, but I wouldn't travel in that state of mind. And I don't encourage anybody else to do that. No matter how nice of a white friend you have, wife, husband, community you may live in. You have to, just like you go anywhere, you have to assess that place. So they said up until 3 years ago, she thought racism was a thing, right? Because that was 2007, she got a lawsuit. Anyway, they pretty angry with Aunt Candace. They said, called her a disgrace. And she should be ashamed of herself. It said, she eagerly and unapologetically stands up and champion the causes of a racist who wouldn't spit on her if she was on fire. That's some harsh words right there. So it doesn't sound like too many people appreciate Candace. I appreciate just knowing how she thinks. I don't agree with her, but I appreciate hearing her voice. I'm not one of her followers, but I've been running across her on the net. So she's a conservative political commentator, right? She says, another thing she says about the pervasive feeling of white guilt is much more damaging to the black community. The feeling of white guilt is much more damaging to the black community and America as a whole, non-existent systemic racism, she said. Then she goes on to talk about the Black Lives Matter. Every professional sports league and the Democrat Party are complaining about, right? So she's basically calling these guys frauds. She refers to the narrative of police killing blacks in America, thus driving the riots and the civil unrest we've seen across the nation since the killing of Minneapolis citizen George Floyd in May as the big lie. She actually refers to George Floyd. I'm going to read this, what she said. The quote, the article saying the killing of the Minneapolis criminal George Floyd in May. So that sounds to me like it's all right to kill a guy because he's a criminal or he's breaking the law. And if anybody saw that video, that man done did nothing to deserve even being beat by police. You know, he was having a problem himself. He wasn't trying to hurt anybody. He wasn't presenting a threat to anybody. So if you are truly, sincerely a white supremacist, they said, if you are truly, sincerely a white supremacist in America, the best thing you could do is nothing and let black America tend to itself, because we do to ourselves, right, when left to unattended to ourselves is way worse. You know, what we do to ourselves when left unattended to ourselves is way worse. She's saying we. So that sounds like she's one of us. You know, they just said, they got a saying, all skin folk are not kinfolk, right? So, because it sounds like she's not really in touch with the, what's happening in the hood. To the hood. When you look at statistics, then allowing any other group to come in and try to do anything to us, Owen said. And that's including, of course, police officers who are not killing black Americans for no reason. Of course they're not. Why would they do that? Why would they kill Tamir Rice for no reason? A 12-year-old kid with a toy gun. They didn't kill him for no reason. No. They choked Eric Garner out for no reason. There's a reason for everything, right? Anyway. That right there sounds bizarre to me. And like sometimes she sounds like she might be has some she's intelligent. She knows what she's talking about. The other times it sounds like she's just parroting what somebody else thinks. Because you can't say police officers are not killing black Americans for no reason. That doesn't make sense. Anyway, police officers who are not killing black Americans for no reason sounds unintelligent. Of course they have a reason, and sometimes that reason simply unlawful, unethical, or moral. That reason is, you know, you don't have to be a Harvard law student to see that. Black Americans murder other black Americans for a reason, And sometimes that reason is unlawful, unethical, and immoral. Understand that there are reasons. Now, we're not going to deny there are reasons, but this is ethical. Sounds like this so-called orator thinks it is acceptable, all right, okay. The rap song, God is thinking that is okay, by OHG. All right, okay, for police to murder black people, as long as the police have a reason. Like, I feared for my life. Thought I saw a gun. He was resisting arrest. He was fleeing the scene. Looked like he was looking at his cell phone. He reached for his wallet. Purchasing a toy at a retail store. It's coming in. Ah, there he is. Reaching for your license and registration. Castile, right? Commission of a misdemeanor offense or playing in a park with a toy gun. That's Tommy Rice, 12 years old. Police came up, rolled up, killed him within about 5 seconds getting out of the car, maybe less than that. Oh, and I forgot, just because you're black, because some of the things that is happening sounds subliminally, I don't even know if I can say that, but it sounds premeditated anyway. You know, like, if one of these N-words try anything, sneeze too hard, I'm going to blow his brains out. Sounds like they're coming out with that attitude. Some of the, you watch some of the ways some of these crimes are being committed. She also asserted that so-called white guilt, the idea that white people living today bear a historical responsibility for slavery and other injustices of the past. It's far more problem in America today than any alleged systemic racism. So now that's like blaming the victim, ain't it? Excuse me. So white people today have benefited historically from the atrocity of slavery, Jim Crow laws, systemic discrimination, redlining, and structural racism. Fact. Some have become very wealthy. Today, the descendants of the brutal, the descendants of the people who were under the brutal enslavers, right? The descendants of the brutal enslavers benefit from the labor, right? The forced labor, discrimination, and atrocities perpetrated on black folks in the good old USA, right? So that's exactly what they said, but they left that part out, kind of like historical responsibility. They bear a historical responsibility. They have a historical benefit. But I guess we just using words to say what we want to say instead of what actually happened. And that's the problem. You have to be very careful when people speak and they leave things out, because they leave it out for a reason. You know, they're telling a story, and they just tell you part of a story. We call that a lie. Anyway, why shouldn't the descendants of those who suffered under the brutal enslavers benefit from the forced labor, discrimination, and atrocities historically perpetrated on black folks in the good old U.S. of A? We had the descendants of the actual cruel slave masters benefiting from what they did. Why shouldn't the descendants of the enslaved benefit from that same labor? What's wrong with this picture? Anyway, Owens claimed that systemic racism is not at all an obstacle to black Americans today. What's wrong? Is something wrong with you, right? If you can't do something, it's something wrong with you, right? There is no systemic racism. There is no law. There is nothing that says I cannot do something as a black person that you can do. So it's completely false. If there's anything systemic in America today, it is white guilt. It's been institutionalized. It's been politicized. Politicians and white people feeling bad for themselves and therefore allowing people, you know, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, to run around and act like toddlers. Okay, now that's hard to follow right there. Basically, I'm just hearing her blaming the victim solely. System of racism is an obstacle that is not an obstacle black people can't work around. I'm saying that. And I'm saying that for a particular reason. I've always said it. Yes, there are obstacles. There are hills. There are valleys. There are oceans. Crevices. Right? I've said this before in reference to Tulsa, Oklahoma, or Black Wall Street in the 1920s. It's a historical witness to the power of black social economical unity. Its destruction by white racist neighbors, by its white racist neighbors, bears witness to the need for the black community to be able to defend their lives and property from the imminent threat of the enemy of the black community. You don't have to win the war. You just have to make them not want to fight it, not think that it's worth, you know, waging war against you. Anyway, I want to also say there's an emotional immaturity that is happening in black America, and it is formed by the education system. It shapes you from the time you are in kindergarten to believe that because you are black, you can't in America. I'm not familiar with this. When you keep telling a child over and over again that they can't because they won't, right? Huh? They will begin to believe in their own futility. I'm trying to see when I heard somebody tell somebody they can't do something because the white man is going to stop you from getting an education. Because all I'm hearing is that people died for you to get an education. I don't know what, maybe that's happening somewhere. I don't know. I haven't been everywhere. But in my circle, black children are being encouraged to get an education, be all they can be. I was encouraged the same way. White counselor set me and my friend down, said, where y'all see yourself, you know, after high school? You going to college? No. I already had two siblings that went to college. Me and my buddy was sitting in the counselor's office. She pulled us in. Asked us where we going. My friend didn't make it. He was murdered. But that's another story. Anyway, I agree that there appears to be some emotional immaturity in some individuals or element in the population in the black community. No one I know tells a child that they can't, but I have heard stories of other folks telling that poisonous train of thought to young black children. I've heard stories of the other folks, black kids that. I haven't heard stories of, you know, black people pulling their own children down, telling them they can't be nothing. I don't know where they're getting that from. Anyway, the black community in America is aided by mainstream media and Democrats. And they pick the wrong people to canonize and make heroes of. like she's talking about George Floyd. He's a criminal, and he had a lengthy violent past. Well, she also said that Condoleezza, we elevate people who should not be elevated, and we downgrade people who should be elevated, like Condoleezza Rice, Uncle Tom, Larry, Elder, Coon, Ben, Carson, Stupid. She said that's her favorite one. That's a literal neurosurgeon is stupid. She thinks that a neurosurgeon can't be stupid. I don't know what the hell she's talking about there. First, George Floyd is a victim of a horrific murder perpetrated by so-called law enforcement. Every right he ever had and was going to have was violated on that day. If all Owens got out of the senseless murder of George Floyd was he is unfit to be a martyr for Black America, we don't want martyrs. We don't want people to die. Like we don't. Black America does not want martyrs. Where is she getting this thinking from? We do not want people. We don't want Martin Luther King to get shot in the neck. We don't want that. Medgar Evers shot in the back. Malcolm gunned down. We don't want that. We want them to live a long life. A martyr, that's a very unfortunate situation right there to end up there. I don't know. It sounds like that she like thinks that that's... Anyway. If all she gets out of the senseless murder of George Floyd was he is unfit to be a martyr for Black America, she must be seeing the world through the eyes of those who saw no wrong in murdering Floyd. Oh, he's a criminal. Who cares about him? Why should we care about him? He's a criminal. He has criminal history. He's a drug addict. He's this, he's that. Those who attempted to demonize Floyd to validate his cold-blooded murder. A violent criminal past is simply that, a violent criminal past. Floyd wasn't violent on the day he was murdered and was begging for his life. Law enforcement made George Floyd the catalyst for the riots. They made him the martyr that ensued around the world after law enforcement brutally murdered him, handcuffed behind his back, in broad daylight, in front of men, women, and children for a misdemeanor offense. If Owen believes that it is all right, acceptable, okay, for police to murder Black people for whatever reason they conjure up, she is a part of this problem. And why is she even saying we? She don't sound like one of us. Because, see, we don't care if he has a criminal record. We care that he's treated in a humane way, that is appropriate to the scenario. As far as criminals and poor examples go, anyone who could declare another man three-fifths a man and sentence him to hundreds of years of chattel slavery, rape, torture, lynching, and disenfranchisement isn't worthy of praising or uplifting either. What upstanding citizens those forefathers who are fighting for freedom against taxation with no representation and economic exploitation while enslaving, raping, robbing the African or Black man of his freedom, culture, family, and power. Does Candace have a problem with that, or is that the thing that she wants us to forget? Forget about that. Those guys are upstanding. Happened a long time ago. Anyone can be stupid. Letters behind your name have nothing to do with how stupid you are. Believing that they do shows how naive you are or how stupid you think someone else is. I think The fictional character Forrest Gump said it best. Stupid is as stupid does. We used to say, if the shoe fits, then wear it. With an interview with Shapiro, right? Owens touched on the racial puppetry that Democrats often engage in with black celebrities such as rapper Cardi B, who was granted an audience with the Joe Biden, right? You know, he didn't see Ice Cube, despite knowing next to nothing about politics. Well, last time I looked, Cardi B is a citizen of the United States, and I hear she got about a couple of million followers. So, does Candace Owens not get that? I get that. Owens has said she is actively encouraging blacks to rethink their long-held tradition of blindly voting Democrat instead of truly researching the issue. I'm in total agreement with her there. Don't just vote Democrat because, oh, that's what we do. No, that's not what we do. We think first, and we talk, and we have verbal contracts with people who are running for office, saying that they're going to represent us. We act for representation, and we want to see representation. That's what we should be doing. So Candace Owens, bam, thumbs up right there, because you said you are so right there. But that goes for the Republicans, too. Talked about how when she got started, she had no black fans. They called her Uncle Tom. A coon. But she's not Uncle Tom. We talked about who Uncle Tom was a long time ago, right? So she's not an Uncle Tom. Sambo is the word that people need to be placed with the word Uncle Tom. Uncle Tom is the one that was looking out for the black people. Anyway. So that whole thing about Biden meeting with Cardi B and stuff like that. Look, Owens has fans. Cardi B has fans. Fans vote. Biden is not as stupid as he looks. Cardi B has many more fans and followers than Owens. Biden realized that we are a nation of many ideologies, voters with different ideologies, and he wants all of their votes. Sounds like Owens is hating on Cardi B and making a futile attempt to alienate Biden from this political voter base. Actually, Owens is implying that the black voters are stupid and assumes that all of Cardi B's followers are black. Well, maybe most, because all is a strong word, everyone. Maybe she's majority, who knows? Not interested in taking a poll to see who's following Cardi B. Blindly supporting the Republican Party is no better than blindly supporting the Democratic Party. Owens is advocating a changing of the guard, not changing the guard. She does not advocate political independence. A more powerful statement would have encouraged black people not to support politicians who do not support black people, Democrat or Republican or otherwise. It sounds like she's just running for the, you know, sounds like she's just, you know, out there trying to do something for the Republicans. As we previously learned, Owens is not Uncle Tom. Owens says there is no racism in America. So, what the hell is Stanford doing spreading this venomous idea about racism in America? What is Stanford doing? I just want to know. Inquiring minds want to know. News.stanford.edu, June 9, 2020. Stanford, psychologists identified several factors that contribute to American racism. What? Say it ain't so. American racism is alive and well, he said, begins a new journal article led by Stephen O. Roberts, a Stanford psychologist that arrives during a time of heightened attention to racial injustice in the United States. Racial injustice in the United States. A Stanford psychologist that arrives during a time of heightened tension to racial injustice in the United States. Is this guy smart? He's got letters behind his name, but his letters are not whatever. He's saying it's citing racism in America. Racism is a system of advantage based on race. It is a hierarchy. It is a pandemic. Racism is so deeply embedded within the U.S. mind and U.S. society that it is virtually impossible to escape. That's what this man is saying. And he's a Stanford psychologist. I think Owens would love, you know, those letters, you know, PhD, right? Or something. He got some letters behind his name, so that he qualified as an intelligent person for this Owens lady. Anyway, Roberts is an assistant professor and co-author. No, Roberts, assistant professor and co-author Michael Rizzo, a postdoctoral fellow at New York University and Beyond Conflict Innovation Lab, right? Those are two guys, smart guys, based on, you know, Owen's perception of who's smart, the letters, that these letters behind it. They say just as citizens of capitalistic societies reinforce capitalism, whether they identify as capitalists or not, and whether they want to or not, citizens of racist societies reinforce racism, whether they identify as racist or not, and rather they want to or not. That's a hell of a, hell of a, hell of a thing to say right there. But they just declared racism over. And this guy, this smart guy from Stanford, these two smart guys, with these letters behind their names, right? Trying to tell us that racism is embedded in American society. All right. Many people, especially white people, underestimate the depths of racism, Rizzo said. A lot of attention is rightfully put on the recent murders of Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and George Floyd, and far too many others. But people need to understand that those horrific events are a consequence of a larger system. A larger system. What are they? Message. Anyway, the U.S. systemically constructs racial categories, places people inside of those categories, and segregate those people on the basis of those categories. For example, research showing that people, adults, children alike, tend to feel and act more positively toward those they consider to be like them. And in group, right? This means that they are likely to treat people from outside of their social circles less favorably. You know, it's like coming to a little small town. You're outside it. For many white Americans, their in-groups do not include black Americans. Part of the reason is has to do with America's fraught history of racial segregation. Blacks generally live around blacks. Whites generally live around blacks. There may be a few whites in the black community, maybe a few blacks in a white community, right? Anyway, studies demonstrating that the amount of exposure a child has to other racial groups early in life affects how they will think about and act towards those groups when they are adults. Research shows that children are more in tune to faces of racial minority groups. Children are more in tune to the face of the racial minority group. That is, black children are better at recognizing white faces than white children are at recognizing black faces. Oh, the racial majority group. Excuse me. I read that wrong. The research shows that children are more attuned to faces of the racial majority group. That is, that black children are better at recognizing white faces than white children are at recognizing black faces. I said that increases the odds of innocent black suspect being misidentified. As a perpetrator of a crime, Robinson Rizzo note that in cases where felony convictions were overturned because of DNA evidence, a significant number of the original convictions were due to incorrect eyewitness identification. Say the remaining factors the researchers argue contribute to American racism include hierarchy, which emboldens people to think, feel, and behave in racist ways. Power, which legislates racism on both micro and macro levels. Media, which legitimizes overrepresented and idealized representations of white Americans while marginalizing and minimizing people of color. Passism, such that overlooking, repeat twice, or denying the existence of racism encourages others to do the same. Passivism, overlooking or denying the existence of racism encourages others to do the same. Could Ms. Owens be guilty of passivism? I'm just saying, these guys are smart. They got letters behind their name. Just one of those things that make you go, Anyway, they want to say that they argue that the U.S. positions and employers some over others reinforces those differences through base bias media and then leaves those disparities and media in place. Of the seven factors they identify, perhaps the most insidious is passivism. That makes sense. Because if there's a hole in the floor and I ignore it, I'm going to fall right in the hole. Right? It's an electrical wire in the tub. I ignore it. I'm going to be electrocuted. I'm going to get in the tub. I'm going to ignore that wire. It sounds stupid. Well, that's how stupid it is. As far as Gump said, stupid is as stupid does. Right? Passivism. So that's what we're up against, seems like to me, with some people. This includes apathy towards systems of racial advantage or denial systems even exist. Denial that those systems even exist. These smart guys said it. They got letters behind their name. And they did the work. Anyway, if people advantaged by the hierarchy remain passive, it is no surprise that those at the bottom cry out to be heard, they said. People have been crying for centuries. That makes a lot of sense to me. I don't know if Candace Owens was privy to that information, that study. Another article from the HuffPost Post. says, is racism still alive in America? That's affirmative. That's what the article says. It said last week the Supreme Court voted to uphold so-called affirmative action admissions policies at the University of Texas. Those policies had been challenged by a young white woman who believed that she was denied admission. The Supreme Court decision is important because it keeps in place institutional safeguards against the kinds of racism and bigotry that have been used to oppress Black Americans and other Black people of color for centuries. But we mustn't cheer too hard now, right? It says, one Supreme Court decision does not cure 400 years of racism. In fact, immediately after the decision, it was clear that some in our society still don't get it. Harvey Levy, the executive director of the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, said in an article in The Atlantic after the ruling that he was pleased with the outcome. But he then went to say, I don't think anyone can take great comfort that race-conscious affirmative action is here to stay. Translation, we won't get rid of that thing. Right? Anyway. We ain't talking about Levy. They said the fact is, in 2016, when the president and his wife and children were Black, everything still is about race. We don't make it that way. That's just the way it is. I think it was a rap song. It's like that, and that's the way it is. Anyway, he says, consider this. Things that have happened. The war on drugs has been waged primarily in communities of color, where people of color are more likely to be charged with more serious offenses and ordered to serve longer sentences. Right? Students of color face harsher punishment in school than their white peers. While people of color make up about 30% of the United States population, they account for 60% of those in prison. That's people of color. That's not Black people. That's people of color, non-white. 43% of Black children are educated in all high-poverty schools, both elementary and secondary, while only 6% of white children are educated in high-poverty schools. Right? Many people of color living in circumstances stressed by poverty lack access to healthy food. We didn't make these facts up. They say they're a reality and a stark reminder that work needs to be done on many different levels. But some might say the work is about faulty programs or deep-seated pathology. Others might argue that the work needs to be done with an eye toward class or poverty, employment, or family values. Anything but race. Passivity, right? But if you don't think that something is there, then you will not address it. Right? You don't think it's a leak in the boat, then you won't plug the hole. You just drown and whatever happens to that boat, but the matter of it having that leak in it. And that's sad. It's like, hold up. But the decision is a drop in a bucket with holes in it. Legislating new or better policies won't change beliefs. You cannot legislate what's in a man's heart. I say that all the time. Right? But changing beliefs can help those in leadership positions yearn to change their policies, right? Change beliefs, change policy, fill the holes. When we do that, we will find less and less need to argue race consciousness cases before the Supreme Court. We'll find fewer reasons to argue about race at all. It's like we have laws against murder, and that still happens frequently. You can't legislate emotions and beliefs. That includes the belief that one so-called race is superior, better than another, particularly because their ancestors have been owned by another group of people. Somebody might, I guess, it's, you know, you knew you used to own people. Now you're looking at them. I don't even know what that feels like. Anyway, from the U.S. Department of Treasury, racial inequality in the United States. This is from the U.S. Department of the Treasury. Would they lie? This is written in, submitted this article, July 21st, 2022. So far, we got racism rearing its ugly head right up until just like now. Counselor by Counselor for Racial Equity, Janice Boulder, and Assistant Secretary for Economic Policy, Benjamin Harris. Racial inequality is the unequal distribution of resources, power, and economic opportunity across race in society. Wow, the decision of racial inequality in the United States is often focused on economic inequality. Racial inequality also manifests itself in a multitude of ways that alone and together impact the well-being of all Americans. This includes racial disparities in wealth, education, employment, housing, mobility, health rates, rates of incarceration, and more. Origins and persistence of racial inequality in the United States. Racial inequality in the United States is rooted in longstanding behaviors, beliefs, and public and private policies that result in the appropriation of the physical, financial, labor, and other resources of non-white people. While a review of the origins of racial inequality is beyond the scope of this blog, right, it is important to note that prominent role of inequitable and harmful policies dating back to before the country's founding. This includes attacks on Native Americans, political status, and expropriation of their land, right? The reliance of slavery to underpin a significant portion of the colonial and then U.S. economy, and the Jim Crow laws and other formal and informal policies that enforced segregation and severely limited opportunities for non-white Americans. Can we agree that these guys are smart? And agency. I see millions of African Americans who left the southern United States to escape Jim Crow, another form of slavery, face formal and informal employment, housing, and educational discrimination in destination cities in the North and West. Native Americans who survived the military conquest of the mid-19th century were subject to policies that disenfranchised them, forced their assimilation and relocation, and removed Native children from their household. Anti-Latino sentiment, which grew in the 19th century as immigration from Mexico to the United States increased in the years following the Mexican-American War, grew further, flowing the Great Depression due to the concerns that Mexican-Americans were taking jobs from European-Americans. Sounds like something Claude Anderson was saying about black folks. But like the lady said, that's history, and there were many black Wall Streets in America in a time when blacks were overtly disenfranchised by the law. So I'm just saying, you got to go up a hill. use a rope, use cleats, use another person, you know, help somebody else, you know, somebody to help you. Go up the mountain, rest when you have to, climb some more. Nobody's sitting down on this, oh, we slaves, we can't do nothing. I never heard that. We stuck. I don't hear that. I hear people talking about how they're going to come up, whether it's, depending on what point in my life, it's coming up on the street or coming up, you know, and getting this education or training or whatever, or creating things for themselves. I never heard people whining about slavery got me messed up. I didn't hear that. Even though slavery, racism, you know, is upon them. You know what I'm saying? You know, like people saying, like, so what? Don't stop. Don't stop trying. Nothing beats a failure but a try. Read about Black Wall Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma. They lived in a time when they had less than we have now. And they did more than we're doing right now. I don't know of any kind of Black Wall Streetish community. Maybe there is one. I don't know. I'm going to do some research, see if there's anyone. Something like that. That's where the Gap Band is from, just in case you guys, I don't know, you probably don't care, but that's where the Gap Band is from. Tulsa. Another from BenJerry.com. It talked about racism is at every level of society. About seven ways we know systemic racism is real. All right, come on. Says that every, you know, since the election of Donald Trump, hate crimes have been on the rise. About the ways that we know that racism is real, right? They talk about wealth. Okay, what? According to a study, white families hold 90% of the national wealth, Latinos 2.3%, and Black families hold 2.6%. They said the Great Recession hit minority families hard. For every $100 white families earn in income, Black families earn just $57.30. That's almost unbelievable, and it's a huge racial justice issue. These some more smart guys saying this kind of this stuff. Employment. It's impossible to build wealth without steady and rewarding employment, but Black unemployment rate has been consistently twice that of whites over the past 60 years. No matter what has been going on with the economy, whether it's been up or down. Black people with college degrees are twice as likely to be unemployed as other graduates. That may be because job applicants with white-sounding names get called back 50% more of the time than applicants with black-sounding names, even when they have identical resumes. I mean, just read that, right? I wonder if Candace knows about this. I mean, because if a plug like me gets this, I'm sure a smart girl like her could find it. Anyway, education, right? Black children constitute 80% of preschool nationwide. They make up nearly 50% of the suspensions. Black students are three times more likely to be suspended than white students when their infractions are similar. Black students represent 60% of the enrollment, and 20% of the students refer to law enforcement. They are 18 times more likely than white children to be sentenced as adults. They are 18 times more likely all right? Criminals, justice. Black people make up 13% of the population. They represent about 40% of the prison population. 13% of the population represent about 40% of the prison population. Perhaps it's because if a black person and a white person each commit a crime, the black person has a better chance of being arrested. It is also true that once arrested, black people are convicted more often than white people. And for many years, laws assigned much harsher sentence for using or possessing crack cocaine than powdered cocaine, right? You get more time with crack than you do for powdered cocaine, and crack is powdered cocaine in another form, cooked, right? Anyway, finally, when black people are convicted, they're about 20% more likely to be sentenced to jail time than the white part, you know. So, as we know, a felony conviction means in many states that you lose your right to vote. 7.4% of the adult African-American population is disenfranchised compared to 1.8% of the non-African-American population. It's interesting how we black people just lead in all these negative categories. Housing. When the government sought to make mortgages more affordable in the 1930s, thereby jump-starting the suburban migration, I guess, living, homeowners loan corporation, and thereafter private banks ranked neighborhoods all around the country, giving high marks to all white neighborhoods and marking those with minorities in red as risky investments, which essentially barred black people and other minorities from sharing in the American dream and building wealth like their white counterparts. Was officially outlawed in the 60s, but the practice really never went away. Was officially outlawed in the 60s, but the practice really never went away, they said. The Great Recession, right? Routinely and purposely guided black home buyers towards subprime loans, right? They demonstrated that people of color are told about and shown fewer homes and apartments than whites. Black ownership is now at an all-time low. Black, 42% compared to 72% of the white. Surveillance, right? If you're white, you don't usually need to worry about being monitored by the police. But the day-by-day reality for African Americans is quite different. More than half of the young black African Americans know someone, including who has been harassed by police. Statistics show that black drivers are about 30% more likely than whites to be pulled over by police. So African Americans can expect to be monitored wherever they go. Black people are twice as likely to die in pedestrian accidents than whites. Perhaps because, according to one study, motorists are less likely to stop for black people in the crosswalk. Whoa. That's not nice. Listen, of course, it's well known that Muslims are under increasing and often illegal surveillance. And Philadelphia has a large Muslim population. Healthcare. African Americans in particular face discrimination in the world of healthcare too. Woo! Ain't that something? Ain't that nice? It's nice to know somebody's thinking about you. This is crazy. In a 2012 study found that the majority of doctors have unconscious racial biases when it comes to their black patients. The hospitals they go to tend to be less well-funded, staffed by practitioners with less experience. Blacks are far more likely than whites to lack access to emergency medical care. Even when black doctors face discrimination, they are less likely than their similarly credentialed white peers to receive government grants for research products. Even black doctors face discrimination. The doctors, The guys with the letters behind their name, the smart guys. So all these different articles support each other in terms of support the fact that there's racism in America. It's just there. It seems that facing a lifetime of racism leaves African Americans vulnerable to developing stress-related health issues that can lead to chronic issues later in life. Killing us. And without the gunplay. Run out of time. Here go, got this from World Population Review. The most racist cities in America, 2022. Falls. What's that name? Is that Indiana? IA. Milwaukee. Waukesha. That's in Wisconsin. Racine, Wisconsin. Isn't it a Racine Street in Chicago? Anyway, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Bloomberg, Minnesota, right? Peoria. Indianapolis, Elmira, New York, Decatur, Illinois, now Benton Harbor, I think that's Michigan, Kankakee, Illinois, Fresno, California, Springfield, Illinois, Trenton, New Jersey, Danesville, Illinois, Rochester, New York. I know I heard about Rochester. And Chicago, Naperville, and Elgin, Illinois, right? There must be some mistake. Candace said there was no, Miss Owens, she said there was no racism. So are these smart guys just trying to start a race war or trying to, you know, set up reparations for these black people that just want somebody to just give them something? Is that what's happening? New York Times. When we apply the lens to the African American experience, we see the barriers to opportunity are still very high. The barriers to opportunity are still high. Article from the New York Times. I can keep going, y'all. It's a lot. I'm going to try to touch on these last couple of things that I have in here. Research shows the role racism plays in perpetuating these disparities, right? Black adults are over 16 times more likely to be in families with these generations of poverty than white adults, right? So they got research to show the role racism plays in perpetuating these disparities. It's no joke. So, you know, that's my story. I don't have much time. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Y'all, racism appears to be alive and kicking. Mrs. Owen's self-declaration. She, like the activist, one people in the article said, prove when racism stops. Because these guys are saying, still alive. Is racism still alive in America? That's affirmative. Who's saying this? The blog. They go on with a whole bunch of students of color face harsher punishment. Same thing. And I'm running out of time, y'all. You know, but, you know, do your own research. You don't have to. I had a call. I'm going to give you 2 minutes.
Hey.
Hello? Is it okay?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to say about the Aubrey murder case, the way they were treated was a prime example of how it's institutionalized. You know, they weren't even considered to be murderers or anything like that. It's just like, oh, you caught this guy. You caught him doing whatever he was doing and you murdered him. And you executed him on the street, you know, this bad person jogging through your neighborhood. You know, that's how they treated them, not like they were the murderers that they were. And
that's right.
It took another agency to come in and to correct their institutionalized position.
That's right. With a man laying in the street trying to live. With an unarmed man laying in the street trying to live. They didn't even think that these guys are guilty of a murder.
Right.
And it was and they throwing brothers on the ground for just refusing to get out of the car, telling you to stop. I might have police tell me, stop or I'll shoot you. I was 15 years old, mm-hmm. right down the street from the house, to stop mm-hmm. or I'll shoot you. And he was not far from me.
Right.
You know, hey, what? Shoot me for what? I had no gun. I'm 15, man. Shoot me for what? You know, so, and that was back in the day. So, you know, yeah, they have a different perception of when they see black people. See, that's what it looks like to me. I don't care what they say. Go by what they do. Not what they say, but what they do.
Correct.
Right, and so and with that, I'm going to have to close the show. I'm going to thank you for calling in, my brother. And I'm going to thank anybody else for calling in, listening in, downloading, whatever you're doing. You can download the show anytime. Until next week, each one reach one. Each one teach one. Be careful out there, y'all.
Be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.